Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
At one proposal by government, in fact, there were a number of them, to use derelict or vacant properties as a solution to the housing crisis. It's been discussed over and over again, but the bad news is that one of the schemes has only purchased 47 homes since October 2023 and spending just 7.5 million euro out of a fund that amounts to 150 million euro. Why is that? Why such a small spend? And are vacant properties really a silver bullet that they're made out to be? Joining me to talk about this, Councillor Fiona Bonfield, Labour Councillor on Tipperary County Council, and Dr. Keane O'Callaghan, Associate Professor in Urban Geography at the School of Natural Sciences at Trinity College in Dublin. Good morning and welcome. Keane is with me in studio. Keane, when you saw this story in the newspapers that only 7.5 million had been drawn down of a potential 150 million, what was your reaction? Did you understand why?
So thanks for having me on, Pat. I think in one sense I'm not surprised. So often vacancy and dereliction is thought about as one singular problem when it's really a symptom of a lot of different problems that are impacting the built environment. So since about 2016, there's been a range of different incentive schemes which have been rolled out to try to incentivize the reuse of vacant property. The particular context around that, if you remember the 2008 crash, we had an oversupply of housing and unfinished estates. And with the housing crisis started to kick off from about 2014, that problem suddenly shifted over to one of sort of undersupply, and vacant properties were seen as a mechanism to bring things back.
Now, some of those ghost estates, as they were called, I mean, are they still standing unfinished?
So a lot of them, I think, would have been brought into use. So there's an unevenness in different parts of the country.
Some of them were knocked down.
There's still vacancy in areas like Roscommon, for example. In Dublin, some of those estates would have been very quickly, I think, brought back into the market.
Now, the scheme that was referred to in the newspaper reporting was this scheme whereby the government makes money available to county councils who can then apply for the money to buy derelict or vacant homes, which they could either refurb and rent to their people on their housing list or could sell to interested parties.
Yes. So a lot of the schemes so far have really been about incentivizing owners to either kind of refurb and bring back into use for social housing.
And Dermot Bannon has been a proponent of that process for people trying to refurb houses.
And there has been like great success in places like Waterford in utilising those schemes. This particular one, I think, is slightly different in that it's an urban regeneration scheme. So it gives money to either buy those vacant properties if the local authority want to take those on, or it gives them money to fund infrastructural works or de-risk the site for an owner maybe to redevelop it in themselves. So I think there's a couple of things that may be kind of influencing the slowness here. So one is maybe that the speed at which some of these kinds of schemes maybe come on stream, and we might see more of an uptake in the next couple of years. But secondly, I think there's significant barriers also, both in terms of the type of property that a local authority might be looking for. There's limits in terms of the funding that might be available and what might be viable in terms of the building condition and the location, which are also barriers. Yeah. And we hear a lot in terms of like the headline figures of vacancy, but there's a lot of noise in there about, you know, really kind of very different types of properties that you're talking about.
Now, vacancy, can that apply to maybe accommodation over the shop? The shop is still trading, perhaps.
Yeah.
But up above, there's a vacant flat, which might not give you a very good BER rating.
So the above the shop is not counted within vacancy figures generally. And so we don't really know the overall numbers of that, but we do know that it's a significant issue and that a lot of the older building stock that would have worked as accommodation and shops underneath it, you have maybe shop fronts and maybe shops, but the upper floors are often very underutilized. So a colleague of mine, Kathleen Stokes in DCU, did a project which was about the conversion of over-the-shop units. Yeah. And one of the things they did was a series of case studies with, you know, owners who had undertaken those conversions. And in all those cases, it's possible to do the conversions, and you know, there's a lot of reasons why you should do those conversions, but there's also significant barriers in terms of planning, in terms of fire
and
regs.
The building and regs and all of that, they seem to be one of the biggest problems. And anyone attempting to do that kind of refurb has to apply to many different agencies before they can actually finally go ahead. There's no one-stop shop.
No. So there's, with the vacant homes officers, some local authorities, I guess, are streamlining that process a bit better, where there is, you know, a moving towards a one-stop shop. But from research we've done, what we did here is that there tends to be a very, you know, siloed effect sometimes in local authorities, where you may be dealing with different parts of the local authority and they're not exactly speaking to each other in a facilitative approach to try to bring those sites back into use. And you can have a very black and white thinking as well, where if it doesn't meet current building regs or codes, it's rejected, as opposed to seeing this as there's building stock that's older that needs to be brought back into use, and how do we facilitate that?
Now, the ambition with local authorities would be if they build from new, they would insist on at least an A2 rating, perhaps even an A1 rating. And that's a problem with old stock. It's almost impossible to achieve.
Yeah, it can be. And I think one argument, I suppose, is that we should be, you know, future-proofing the stock that we have in public ownership, and that should be good energy rating. But another argument is that the existing building stock has sustainability and climate sort of has sort of inbuilt kind of attractiveness there as well, because the embedded.
Yeah, I don't see them wrapping Leinster House, for example.
Yeah,
you know, they're not doing it because they're looking at the historical significance of that. But in many townscapes, that's exactly what you have.
Exactly, yeah. And so there's many reasons why things become vacant. And so, as I said, vacancy and dereliction tends to be a symptom of where the planning and property system is not producing outcomes.
Now, if you're in the flat upstairs over a retail outlet and the outlet closes at 6 o'clock every day and you're upstairs and a fire breaks out, you know, the fire regulations would insist on some sort of a fire escape. Whereas in many modern apartment buildings, I saw it out in my own area in County Dublin, where they put in sprinklers. And that obviated the need for other kinds of fire mitigation.
So like I've seen examples of where above the shop has worked very well. And I think there needs to be a balance, obviously, between safety in the building, but taking into account that older stock. So one of the issues has been the own door access. So many above the shop units would have been, the entrance would have been through the shop.
Yeah.
And you do obviously need a separate door, and that can be cost prohibitive. other issues are around those things like, you know, fire standards, which are, I think, very important, but also things like accessibility. But we do probably need to make decisions about if we want to utilize that stock and we want to have vibrancy in town and city centers that has that building stock available, then it should be treated in a slightly different way, I think, and have a facilitative approach. Yeah.
When you look at the way other countries do it, and we often don't bother to do that, for example, there are some very fine looking buildings in Paris and they're divided into apartments. And we can't envisage maybe doing that to George in Dublin, but that might be required to keep it living.
Yeah. So the adaptive reuse unit in Dublin City Council, for example, which came on stream a couple of years ago, has been targeting a lot of commercial vacancy. And a lot of what they see actually as the most successful kinds of projects and the most viable ones are those George and Dublin buildings, which had been converted from housing into office space and now have the potential to be converted back.
Mm. But how many people could afford an entire Georgian building these days? So it's inevitably going to be divided into apartments.
Yeah, so I think that their remit at the moment is looking at those for social housing and for, you know, increasing kind of social cost rental housing.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists create connectivity solutions that change the way we work, live, and play. Like Kunle, a Comcast engineer who is focused on revolutionizing the in-home Wi-Fi experience today and for the next generation. Kunle builds powerful Xfinity Wi-Fi devices that deliver a fast, reliable connection with capacity to connect hundreds of high-bandwidth devices at once and next-level latency for the applications of the future, like augmented and virtual reality and cloud gaming. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/Wi-Fi.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Those kind of owner-occupied refurbishments might be prohibited.
Now, going back to that fund that the county councils have not availed of, is it kind of inertia, do you think, on the part of the councils that they're just not get-up-and-go enough about it to try and get it? Like, they see an opportunity, there's money there, it's not going to cost us anything, let's do it.
I think there's big differences across the country, so in two ways. So one, there's quite big differences in property markets. So like what might be, you know, work very well in terms of a particular scheme in one city or one town might not work very well in another. And that can be down to like how competitive the property market is. So for, in a city like Dublin, for example, some of the vacancy is around kind of land speculation and property development. Yeah. Other places it's not. I think it's also down to the councils themselves. So some local authorities have been much more proactive on the issue than other local authorities. And there's examples of county councils like Waterford or like Limerick, which have done quite a lot with some of these schemes.
In terms of, you know, property speculation and the promise of development sometime down the road, the derelict property tax was supposed to take care of that, to incentivize developers to get cracking with the building.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to have had the desired effect.
So there's two like registers. There's the derelict sites register and the vacant sites register. Derelict sites register has been going for a long time. Vacant site register is newer. We have heard that there's a lot of loopholes by which developers can seek to kind of remove their site from it, and that can be as, you know, sort of simple as we put in a planning application and it sort of delays the process again, or the site is
so
in
it's
use
gaming
for
the system. Gaming
a,
the system.
There's a bit of gaming the system. I think it depends again on the site. So there is areas or there is sites which have just fallen between the cracks in terms of viability, that there's not really planning or financial mechanisms to bring that kind of infill development into place. And then there's others which are very, you know, attractive in terms of future development, and people might be holding on to you know, undertake a bigger type of development when it's opportune.
Yeah, they hope that the 52-story opportunity might become available. Yeah. As it stands, as a texture, a commercial unit on the ground floor dictates that the rest of the building comes under commercial fire regulations, thus making conversion punitive in cost.
I'm not aware of that per se, but that could be an issue.
That the high spec that the commercial unit commands has to be applied to the rest of the building. That's the suggestion here.
My understanding, I'd have to check that. My understanding is that the housing unit would be separate.
Another one, if they can live above commercial units in New York with exterior fire exits, we can live with it here. People need homes where possible. That's the idea. We're all familiar with the swinging fire escape in New York.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's a good resource there that we can be tapping into, and it can provide a particular type of housing that's very useful.
Now, listening to our conversation, Councillor Fiona Bonfield, Labour Councillor in Tipperary County Council. Fiona, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
How are you doing in your area in terms of using the money effectively to free up vacant or derelict homes?
Well, Pat, from Tipperary County Council's perspective, like Keane has been saying, we haven't been ambitious enough. I do know, look, I mean, where I live in Newport, so I'm really near Limerick City and County as well. And I do know that Limerick City and County Council, you know, they've been working on this since 2017. They have put in a dedicated team to look at dereliction and derelict properties. But unfortunately, like Keane is saying, a lot of the other local authorities haven't been that ambitious. And unfortunately, in Tipperary, we were actually only starting this process. You know, we have a vacant homes officer now. He came on board there at the end of last year. So hopefully in Tipperary, we'll see this improving over the coming years. But like Limerick have been working on it since 2017, and it's really only now that they can actually see, you know, how the progress that has been made.
And what kind of constraints are there in terms of trying to redevelop these properties to the point that they can be occupied and safely occupied?
To be honest with you, I suppose the real issue I've seen is that we needed a dedicated team in the council to look at this and have a full focus on it. And that was lacking in Tipperary. Like I said, we only have that person in place now since the end of last year. And I am looking forward to working with him over the next couple of years on it, because to be honest with you, there's lots of properties out there. And I just think it needs a focus, and it needs a dedicated team that can take it, you know, that can work in it full time and take it all the way to bring them back into use. And I think that's what was lacking. And it's probably what's lacking in a lot of local authorities around the country, is that you needed the dedicated team that can just focus on vacancy and dereliction.
And tell me, the building regulations, are they much of an inhibitor to bringing these properties back to life?
Yes, look, I mean, look, there will be lots of issues then, but unfortunately we have to go by the regulations and we have to abide with them. And look, I mean, I would agree that, look, especially for fire escapes, etc., you do need to have them right. But look, I mean, there's ways of getting around this when you work with a team and you have the support behind you. And I think, look, we do need to focus on it. I mean, it's a scourge in our society across the country to see vacancy and dereliction. It's just crazy at a time when there is such a housing crisis and we have so many children and families in homeless accommodation.
Well, the question of fire regulations, obviously there has to be a viable means of escape. And, you know, there are all sorts of fire technologies available now that could make buildings safer, like even if it means going down through the retail space downstairs in order to make good your escape in the event of fire. All of those things are possible. But in terms of the BER and achieving an A1, I mean, that is so unrealistic for many of the older properties. And as I say, they don't try to do it for Leinster House. So, and we're paying the bill for that particular heating.
We probably, I agree with that, Pat. And like you said in the beginning of the interview as well, like, you know, we probably do need a lot more money coming from government with regards to retrofitting and bringing our you know, our stock up to the current standard, you know, that will eventually improve our climate targets as well. So look, we do need, I do think we need a bit of more budget towards the retrofitting of homes and stuff around the country as well, particularly our public homes, you know what I'm saying, that are in the ownership of the state.
And the idea of buying more of these properties, I mean, what do you think is inhibiting the purchase of these by county councils? Because such a small amount of the money has been drawn down.
Like I said, Pat, I think it's just we needed a dedicated team to look at this, and basically that's just their whole focus. Like you said, we would have had, I know in Tip, like this officer that's now the vacant homes officer, he was working in housing, but like he was covering in different aspects in housing. His job wasn't dedicated to vacancy and dereliction. And I think that's what it takes. It needs a team that is just basically focused on vacancy and dereliction, and that they can work through, and just that's their portfolio. They don't have to look at anything else in the day-to-day running of the council.
I'm just looking, Fiona, at the numbers. You know, 47 homes since 2023. I don't know what is the total number of local authorities between city and county right around the country, but it looks like they're buying a house each. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy, Pat. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, you drive around any town or village and you drive around and you see the number of homes that are vacant and the dereliction and, you know, and a lot of the stuff. And to be honest with you, I don't think the government even have a proper record. I honestly think there's probably a lot more than what's actually shown up on the registers. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I would reckon there's a lot more properties. And that will tell you that the focus isn't there, that it's not there from the local authority's point of view, that they hadn't this dedication. Yeah. Like, every time, I mean, I know, look, working as a local councillor, I'd often get phone calls from people to say, look at this building here, can you get on? You get on to the council and just say, yeah, we'll look at that, but you don't. You know, they're not having a focus on it. They're not basically going through, they're not following it through to pay, bring it, to put it on the vacant property register. And, you know, so we don't even have a proper record of it.
Yeah. Now, one of the issues that's been brought up by a listener, a lot of the vacant properties are actually stuck in probate. It's ludicrous that it takes almost a year to issue a simple grant of probate. Speeding up this process would help release more properties onto the market. And that's a question of where thinking is simply not joined up. The bureaucracy of the planning system is one of the main barriers to all the dereliction and renovation schemes. The local authority planning departments are the elephant in the room and a barrier that needs to evolve. That's from Paul. So, Cian, you've been nodding your head at some points during my conversation with Fiona.
Yeah, so I very much agree with Fiona that a dedicated team is needed to address the issue. And I think I would go beyond even just a single vacant homes officer, because I know that's quite a lot for an individual to do. Some of the things that we've heard from cities like Cork, for example, is that dealing with problems of dereliction requires talking across a lot of different departments. And so you need dedicated people there who are actually going to bring together different departments within the local authority to address a single issue. You also need, I think, to have that person who might be a go-to contact for an individual or a property owner who might be looking to undertake that kind of refurbishment. One of the things I think, you know, when vacancy and dereliction started to become on that policy radar in relation to housing, it was often seen as this idea of low-hanging fruit to solve the housing crisis. I think as these policies have been rolled out, it's very much discovered that it's much more complicated than that. But what we've also discovered is, I think, that there's a lot of reasons why the refurbishment of vacant property and derelict property brings with it a number of really added benefits in terms of, you know, sustainability, in terms of like compact growth, in terms of allowing people to live in central areas. So there's all sorts of benefits.
All sorts of benefits. I just want to, you know, someone or some team of people who get up in the morning every day in those council offices and say, let's go out today, let's free up X amount of houses for redevelopment. That's our job, and let's get up early and do it. That's what it, you know, energize the system.
Yeah, I think there is, you know, an argument that like having that dedicated focus can really be transformative. I would also say that there's a lot of barriers on the ownership side, and those are, you know, also sticky. And there's a lot of different reasons why people might like to hang on to property. Or
Dr. Cian O'Callaghan, Associate Professor in Urban Geography with the School of Natural Sciences at Trinity College in Dublin, and Councillor Fiona Bonfield, who's a Labour Councillor on Tipperary County Council. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.